Thank you, Shirley. Many individuals live a materialistic way of life. Their view is no wider or larger than what they can physically see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. They give attention to what the world has to offer as amusement and entertainment, searching for pleasure and satisfaction. Much time is devoted to acquiring what is attractive and clever. The human nature longs for success and victory, looking to the world for stimulation and gratification. Every thought, every idea is based on some personal need, want, or desire for something. While this approach to life is limited, it also requires a degree of maintenance and upkeep. The human nature is a state of desire, running after what it considers better and finer than it currently has. In addition, it must be larger and greater than the neighbor's possessions, accomplishment, and success. Yes, these individuals keep themselves very, very busy, chasing after the gold at the end of the rainbow, or perhaps looking for that genie in the bottle, the one that fulfills personal dreams and wishes. No matter how diligent we are, no matter how devoted we are to that way of life, there will come a time when we realize it is just not working. The desire to enhance or improve us in some way. We have goals, we have objectives, and we feel certain that we are the one necessary to put it all in place. Now, to make things happen for us, we must be in charge. We must be the one who issues commands and gives instructions. However, life simply did not give us that authority or responsibility. No one designated us to be the leader of the parade, deciding the route or the destination. We may have thought we were the chosen one, that one in charge, but experience taught us otherwise. When we realize the reality of the experience, we discover that it is not what we had expected. So now we give our attention to finding a way out. We may not be in charge, but surely we can find a way out. Now, from a human point of view, I think we can all agree that 2020, it hasn't been a very good year. Things happened that were beyond our control, and we definitely were not in charge. So in this month of October, our approach to life may simply be to find a way to get through the rest of the year in one piece with our sanity intact. We just want to move on to 2021 and get back to something we might be able to consider normal. Now, it is true that while we may not like what happened this year, still, we cannot stop talking about it. And sometimes the most interesting conversations are the ones that other people are having. Now, I know it's not polite to listen in on conversations that do not include us. However, sometimes people are standing next to us, having their discussions, and, well, we cannot help but listen in. Recently, I heard such a conversation. two individuals were talking about the year, and they called it one for the record books, indicating it was special or unique in some way. Their fervent wish was that it just be over. Now, I do not know if they were referring to the pandemic or to the election, or perhaps something of a more personal nature, possibly all of the above. Whatever it was, they just wanted the year to hurry on along and pass on by. Well, I think this can describe many of us at one time or another, expressing as the visible manifested form with its materialistic way of life, keeps us involved with the world, battered about by its rotation of experience. Now, what happened this year? It happened to everybody, meaning that we cannot even make it personal. No one singled us out for the experience. Now, some may continue to worry and wring their hands, asking, why me? However, the individual who is seeking answers beyond their personal self has other options to consider. We know that a year has 12 months of duration, and asking it to hurry on along or pass on by will not change that. The thinking individual soon discovers that the world will have its experience with or without us. It will move on whether we like it or not. It will carry on all by itself without our opinions or our suggestions. So we find ourselves asking the question, is it possible to be in this world and not be subject to its rotation of experience? Jesus said he was in this world, but not of it. Jesus also told us that what he did, we can do also. Now, to take him at his word, we must understand we must do what he did. To be not of this world, we must stop depending on it for anything, for things that amuse, stimulate, and entertain. We must stop trying to be in charge, to lead the parade, issuing commands, and giving orders. We can no longer rely on others for their opinion, their help, or for what it is we think they might owe us. We must stop trying to succeed by a measurement of possessions and personal accomplishment. To sum it all up, to be not of this world, we must give up the materialistic way of life. Now, while we are certain that we have found the answer, we know it will not be an easy thing to do. The logic of it is simple. However, doing it is still another matter. You see, we have lived in this world for quite a while, and we are not sure how we will exist without its laws and its conditions, its rules and regulations. Can we really get along without its toys and its devices that entertain and amuse us? We ask the question, if we are not of this world, then where will our good come from? If we are going to follow the Christ way, then we must discover what Jesus did. If Jesus did not rely on the world for his good, then what sustained him? What was his sustenance? And where did it come from? A passage in the book of John tells us that the disciples prayed with Jesus. At some point, they encouraged him to eat. However, he answered them in this way, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Now, as human beings, we know a lot about meat. The human being considers meat to be the sustenance that the body requires for strong bones and good muscle tone. We nourish the body with food, considering it the source of energy and vitality. Now, not every human being lives a materialistic way of life. However, he does understand about the body and the need for nourishment. He realizes it is necessary to feed the body certain things. He knows what is required to sustain it in a productive and meaningful way. So next we consider the mind and how it works. We nourish our mind with thoughts and ideas, providing sustenance that supports positive and constructive activity, allowing for helpful and confident conclusions. As a human being, we adhere to the laws that govern the physical manifestation. Now, the natural man, represented by the disciples in this story, thinks that the substance necessary for food must first be put through the material process of planting and harvesting. So when Jesus said he had meat to eat they knew not of, the disciples, they did not understand. They therefore said to one another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" The materialistic view requires a seed in the ground with a process necessary to bring it to fruition. When Jesus said he had meat ye know not of, he meant sustenance not known to the human nature, one not dependent on the laws, the ones that are assigned to the outer manifestation. He was speaking of spiritual sustenance. What is of spirit does not require a time of planting and harvesting, a time of sowing and reaping. In spirit, the pure substance is always at hand, ready for consumption by the inner consciousness, that fertile ground that nourishes the divine idea and intent. Now, in the Bible, to eat means to partake of spiritually. When Jesus said he had meat ye know not of, he was referring to the spiritual inspiration by which he lived. Now, Jesus demonstrated that while living in a high state of spiritual realization, that the desire for material food vanishes. We also notice that while he was living in this realization, that he did not appear in a condition of weakness or frailty. In a state of high consciousness, the desire for anything material vanishes. Inner spiritual resources restore and renew, maintaining the ideal of wholeness and perfection. It is important for us to know that this inner sustenance of divine inspiration also sustains and maintains us if we allow it to do so. It gently awaits our recognition. It stands at the door of our consciousness, seeking admittance to the receptive fertile ground that nourishes the divine idea. When we truly understand this, we realize that we do not have to rely on or depend on the world for anything. What a relief. I repeat, when we live as Christ, we no longer depend on the world for anything. We do not have to go outside us for anything. This is our sufficiency. So now we know what Jesus did. He lived according to the guidance and direction of spiritual inspiration. The challenge for us is, how do we go and do likewise? Now, like Jesus, we want to eat the spiritual meat, and we want to partake of the spiritual inspiration. We want to enjoy that table of spiritual refreshment that has been prepared for us. We just have to figure out how to do this. Now, spiritual living is a complete reversal of material living. While our desire is sincere, at first we may find us taking baby steps as a way of claiming this way of life. We have to admit that our spiritual legs, they might not be quite up to the task of supporting our spiritual convictions, not quite strong enough to do the work. The thing is, we may have liked some of those things that we depended on in a material way. There may have even been a few times when we were actually in charge, issuing those commands and giving instructions. Now, even though that did not last, it was fun while it lasted. We thought we were doing something on our own, and our ego is having difficulty letting go of what it thinks it can and should do. Now, in a different year, one without a pandemic or an election, while perhaps not ideal, we may have considered life somewhat pleasant, at least some of the time. Oh yes, perhaps there were a few bumps along the way, but nothing that we could not maneuver around or plow our way through. If we want to live spiritually, we can no longer live from that material basis of wanting, desiring, or needing. That materialistic way of life must go. No more working on the problem at the level of the problem, maneuvering our way around it, or hoping it will hurry on along or pass on by. The spiritual way of life demands a change in attitude, a new approach or view on our part. And above all, we must watch what we are doing. Let us notice how well we do the work. What are we doing if we declare in one breath that God is the only presence, the only power, the source of every good thing? And then we turn around and we consider our boss or someone else as our source of supply, asking them for money to pay the rent. When we eat the invisible meat, partaking of spiritual inspiration, we give all glory to God. We acknowledge that God is our source, which means that He is not only our source, but also the channel through which it comes and the form it takes. He does not delegate that authority to another. We assert that we are one with God, affirming the spiritual nature of our being. Let us not forget this. This sustenance supports us without any help from our fellow man. Again, let us watch what we are doing and notice how well we are doing the work. How true are we to our convictions? Are we really relying on spiritual inspiration to guide and direct the way in which we should go? Is that what we're doing? We can no longer turn to a relative demanding something of him. What does he have that we could possibly want or need? The spiritual inheritance is our sufficiency. The inheritance related to the biological family is the material treasure subject to rust and decay, subject to theft and robbery. Now, so far, I have been talking about needing, wanting, or desiring material things, possessions, and acquisitions. I have discussed human conditions, problems, and our response to them. What else is there? Well, what about our material thoughts? What are we thinking? How do we think about us? What is our basis for logic and reasoning about us? We cannot hold on to a materialistic thought and make very rapid progress in a spiritual teaching. For instance, I may declare that God is the health of his people, and I consider myself as counted among his people. And yes, I believe that. Then one fine day, I wake up and I feel an ache or a pain, perhaps a few aches and pains, and I begin to think, could this be the virus? There is a cough and congestion. Could it be an allergy or sensitivity to grass and mold? On the other hand, perhaps this is an onset of a disease that runs in my family. My grandmother, my aunt, they had a certain condition. You know, in the olden days, they called everything a condition. Could it now be my turn to get it? And off I go, thinking thoughts about me that do not belong to those who are counted among God's people. Do you see what we are doing? The great barrier to spiritual demonstration is seeking spiritual light and then looking outside for material gain, for better health, and improved conditions. Instead, we are called upon to live, move, and have our being in spiritual realization. And then the things of this world take care of themselves. As we rest in the invisible meat within, life is lived without concern for the future or for the past, but in the grace of this moment of I am-ness. This is the mystical life. Now there is no concern about what the year might bring as experience, as expression. There's no concern for the world because we are not of it. The realization of God is fulfillment. When we partake of spiritual inspiration, we discover that the activity of spirit within goes before us to make every crooked place straight, and that is all we need to know. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and acknowledge him above all else. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we rest in the assurance that God is, and beside him, there is none else. As we sit in meditation, we become still and we give no thought. The body is relaxed, we feel calm and serene. The prophets of old spoke of a river, a living stream that flows through the consciousness of man. In the silence, the river of life wells up in us, and we no longer question who we are and from whence we came. The rhythm of life lives us and moves us in that way that we should go. It never ceases. Its invisible activity sustains us through the tribulations assigned to the world of form and appearance. In the quietness, the receptive heart rejoices, and the weary soul is tranquil and serene. In the solitude of the moment, we are alone with God. As we go out into the world, let us go as that man who has his being in Christ, the one sent into this world to be a light to those who sit in darkness. Let us acquaint now ourselves with him and be at peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.